I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 121. Psalm 121, we have been making our way through a study of 1 and 2 Samuel in the life of David, but I'd like to take a little break from that this morning in connection with the profession of faith and the welcome of new members. Psalm 121, I think, is a fitting place for us to turn our attention on this wonderful and joyful morning. And I think we'll see why as we make our way through this psalm, as we hear in this psalm a confession of faith, as we see in this psalm the blessings of the communion of saints, of fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who walk the pathway of the Christian life together with us. And so I'd like to turn our attention to Psalm 121 this morning. I would encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this beautiful passage together this Lord's Day. This is the word of the Lord. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So far, the reading of God's own word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 121 is one of the more familiar psalms of the Psalter. It's one of the great psalms of the Psalter. And certainly it is a psalm worth committing to memory, a psalm worth memorizing. I'm told that memorization of the Psalms is being encouraged in the adult Sunday school class, and I certainly want to commend this psalm to you as one to commit to memory. It is a good psalm to have in our minds and in our hearts, a psalm that serves as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is a song. It's a song for pilgrims. It's a traveling song. Maybe on your family vacations, when you've traveled many, many miles in your vehicle, you've perhaps sang a few songs together to pass the time. Well, this is what the Israelites did as they made their yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They sang together not only to pass the time, but also to keep their minds and their hearts focused, and to encourage one another on their pilgrim pathway. In fact, they had their own playlist, if you will. A collection of traveling songs known to us as the songs of ascent. Literally, the songs of going up. The Israelites were required to make a yearly pilgrimage to the city of Jerusalem to worship God. And because Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level, sitting much higher in elevation than much of the region around it, they would often say to each other, "Let us go up to Jerusalem." And so the songs of ascent, these songs of going up, served as the Israelites' songbook as they made their yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem. It's a collection of psalms, Psalms 120 through 134, and you can actually trace the journey of the pilgrim, trace the journey of the songwriter as they make their way to Jerusalem. Psalm 120 opens with the psalmist lamenting the fact that he is far from the courts of the Lord. And Psalm 134, the last of the psalms, is the psalmist rejoicing as he now stands in the courts of the Lord with the pilgrimage complete. Well, Psalm 121 is found in that collection of songs, in this songbook, this book of songs for going up. This was a psalm they would have sung as they drew near to Jerusalem. We know that from the way this psalm begins in verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? As the psalmist, as the pilgrim would near Jerusalem, he would see those hills and those mountains that surround Jerusalem, and he knew that he had to cross over those hills and mountains. There's no other way into Jerusalem. There is no shortcut. There is no alternate route. And so as the psalmist saw the path that lay before him, fear began to take hold of his heart. Those hills were filled with danger. He might fall and injure himself or get lost. He might get attacked by a wild animal. There were thieves often lurking in those hills. And he might get robbed. This is a fearful path. A frightening path. And so as there is the psalmist on his pilgrimage making his way to Jerusalem, and he comes to this place where his heart is filled with fear. And it leads him to cry out, where does my help come from? He looks at the path that lies before him and he says, I need help. But where am I going to get it? Where does my help come from? Maybe that's a question you're asking right now. You're going through a time of trial, through a time of great change. You're facing an uncertain future. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You're fearful of what the next week will bring, or perhaps a month from now, or years from now, or decades from now. You need help, but where is your help going to come from? Well, the question with which the psalmist begins in Psalm 121 is a question that he immediately answers. Look at verse 2. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The psalmist answers his own question with a confession of faith, a confession that centers on God and who He is. A confession that centers not only on God and who He is, but on what God does. And you'll notice there in verse 2 that the name for the Lord is put in all capital letters. That's our translation's way of telling us that this is the name of God, Yahweh, which is His covenant name. It's a name that reminds us that God has bound Himself to His people with covenant bonds. That though we are so prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love, He is a God who never leaves us. He is a God who pursues us always. And because He is our covenant Lord, we can cry out to Him for help, confident that He will give it. This confession of faith in Psalm 121, verse 2, is a confession of faith that is given expression once again in the songs of going up, in the songs of ascent. Psalm 124, verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Those words should sound familiar to you. The words that we speak at the beginning of almost every worship service, we call it the invocation. It simply means to call upon the name of the Lord. And how good it is for us as we come to worship from Lord's Day to Lord's Day in the midst of a troubling world, a world in which we face many trials and many tribulations, to gather Lord's Day after Lord's Day and to begin our services with that crying out to the Lord and saying, our help is in the name of the Lord. We have a helper. Our help is in the name of the Lord, and this is what we confess concerning Him. He is the maker of heaven and earth. What a comfort that was for the psalmist as he lifted up his eyes to the hills and the mountains. He could confess that God is the maker of heaven and earth. And if God is the maker of heaven and earth, then He's the maker of these mountains and hills. He's the maker of the path that I must follow. And He's my maker. And He's your maker. And he's sovereign over me, and he's sovereign over you. And he's sovereign over the paths that he's called us to walk. And in his sovereignty, what are we confessing? We're confessing that he's not against us. He's for us. He's on our side. Notice this is personal. My help comes from the Lord. It's not just the blanket statement that the Lord is a helper, but that he is my help. I think of the words of Moses near the end of the book of Deuteronomy when he is standing with the Israelites on the border of the promised land. He is not going to go in, but they are. And Moses knows the hearts of the people. He knows the trials and the troubles that await them. And he says to them in Deuteronomy 33, that there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. And that word, Jeshurun, is a name that is given to the people of Israel only a few times in the Old Testament, not many at all, but each time it's used in the context of Israel's weakness, of Israel's failures, of Israel's straying. And Moses says to them, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun, you wandering, straying people. There's no one like your God. And he goes on to say, your God is a God who rides the heavens to help you. He is your refuge. And he bears you up in his everlasting arms. We need to know that. We need to be assured of that, especially when we wander, especially in our times of weakness. And sometimes we need to remind each other that this is who God is and what God is like. We need encouragement from our fellow travelers, from our fellow pilgrims, from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need them to walk alongside us and to point us where we need to look. We need them to join the song and sing with us. And that's what happens here in Psalm 121. If you have your Bibles open yet, look at the subtle change that takes place. Maybe you noticed it when we read it. In verses 1 and 2, we have first person personal pronouns. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. It's the psalmist speaking. But notice in verses 3 to the end of the psalm, verses 3 through 8, the pronouns shift from the first person personal pronouns to second person personal pronouns. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. And on it goes to the end of the psalm. And so what we're given here, it's a picture of two pilgrims walking together. Two pilgrims, two travelers walking along the way together, singing together, encouraging each other, pointing each other to the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Notice what this second pilgrim says in verses 3 and 4. To the first pilgrim, he says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. These are such wonderful words. Look at the beginning of verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. The Lord doesn't just provide help in general. He doesn't just provide generic help. He provides specific help. He provides the exact help we need at the exact time in which we need it. Here was this Israelite, this pilgrim, about to start walking up into the mountains and the hills, and he was fearful. And one of the things he was fearful of was falling and tripping, injuring himself. And certainly, if you've hiked in the mountains, you know how difficult it can be when the rocks are slippery. I've had some of those hikes with some of you. here's specific help for the pilgrim. He won't let your foot be moved. God will be a specific help to you, specifically when you need it. And you don't need to fear that he has forgotten you, that he's turned his glance away from you. Look at the end of verse 3 and verse 4. The one who keeps you does not slumber. He does not sleep. You may think back to that great contest on Mount Carmel when Elijah was there with all the prophets of Baal, and all day long those prophets of Baal were crying out for Baal to listen to them, to come to them, to help them. And finally, Elijah begins to taunt them and mock them and say, well, maybe you just need to call louder. Maybe your God is on vacation. Maybe your God's sleeping. Maybe your God is off relieving himself. Well, our God is not like that. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is a God who is always, always keeping his people. We sing of that in one of our hymns, the protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. And he will not fail in that charge. Look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The beginning of verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. This is the central theme of the psalm. If you have your Bibles open yet, you can count it. There are 8 lines before this line. There are 8 lines after this line. This is the central line of Psalm 121. It's the central theme of Psalm 121. The Lord is your keeper. It means that he is your shade at your right hand. He is your covering. If you are going to have shade on a hot day, you need to be close to that which is giving you shade. And so the Lord is very near to you, even at your right hand. And so the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night, verse 6. And certainly the psalmist was remembering here, as he wrote of the sun and the moon, he was remembering Genesis 1 and the fact that the sun was created to govern the day and the moon was created to govern the night. Well, here we learn that the sun and the moon themselves are governed. They're governed by God. They are under his control, and that means that the heat of the sun will not strike you down and the cold of the night will not strike you down either. In fact, not only are the sun and moon under God's control, all things are under his control. And that becomes abundantly clear in the final stanza of this psalm, verses 7 and 8. The beginning of verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? He will keep you, he will guard you from all evil. That doesn't mean an easy road. That doesn't mean an easy path. Remember, the only way into Jerusalem for the pilgrim was to cross over those treacherous paths, those dangerous paths. And certainly he felt the heat of the day, and certainly he felt the cold of the night. But you see, here's the thing. It's not an easy path that God promises you. What he promises you is that he's with you. And that he keeps you on that path. And he will see you through on that path all the way to the end of your pilgrimage. He will not let you go. And so evil may come to you. It may afflict you. But it cannot take you away from him. Look at verse 7b. He will keep your life. Literally in the Hebrew, he will keep your soul. There is a wonderful stacking up of images here in Psalm 121. Again, if you have your Bibles open, you'll notice in the first stanza, verses 1 and 2, we have mention of the eyes. I lift up my eyes to the hills. In the second stanza, verses 3 and 4, we read of the foot. He will not allow your foot to be moved. In the third stanza, verses 5 and 6, we read of the hand. He is your shade at your right hand. But now in the final stanza, verses 7 and 8, we read of the whole person. He will keep your life, your very soul. There is this building up of imagery throughout the song to the great climax in verses 7 and 8, where the confidence of these two psalmists who are walking together, where their confidence becomes greatest. Look at verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. What does it mean? It means He'll keep you everywhere, wherever you go. He's always there. Think of Psalm 139. You can go to the lowest depths. You can go to the highest heights. He is always with you everywhere you go. And then the end of verse 8, He will keep you from this time forth and forever. He will keep you always. Everywhere and always, the Lord will keep you. Again, sometimes in our pilgrimage, sometimes in the Christian life, it's hard for us to remember this. We sing of that in one of our other hymns, sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom. There are those times of trial. There are those hard paths in life. There are those hard paths that we must follow and walk, those dangerous paths. There are those times when it seems that we are enduring a frowning providence. And yet behind them all, there is a smiling face. God does not send hardships into your life to drive you away from Him. Your trials are not the afflictions of a judge who wants to condemn you. They are the severe mercies of a Father who loves you and means to draw you closer to Him. How do you know that? Well, you know it because of Jesus. You see, Jesus is not only the singer of the Psalms. He is also the pilgrim of the Psalms. He's the pilgrim of Psalm 121. Jesus knows those hills outside Jerusalem. He made them. And He also gave Himself to be nailed to a cross on one of them. As He lifted up His eyes and cried for help there on the cross, on those hills outside of Jerusalem, there was no answer for Him. None would interpose to save Him. God did not spare His own Son. He didn't keep His own Son. But He gave Him up for us all. And on that hill, Jesus suffered all manner of evil. He was covered in darkness, only darkness. God did not shine through the gloom and point Him to the skies. Indeed, what Jesus experienced on the cross, on that hill outside of Jerusalem, was the very reversal of Psalm 121. He became the forsaken man, the unkept man. It was as though God slumbered, as though God slept, because there was no shield for Jesus. To put it in the imagery of Psalm 91, all evil was cast upon Him, the terror of night, the arrow that flies by day, the pestilence that walks in darkness, the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Even the angels were kept from ministering to Him. All evil befell Him. Why? So that He would one day stand in glory with thousands at His side and 10,000 at His right hand. What Jesus was doing there on that hill outside of Jerusalem on Calvary was this. He was bringing many sons and daughters to glory. Beloved, what He was doing there was keeping you. In many ways, Psalm 121 is the Old Testament Romans 8. You know Romans 8, that wonderful chapter that ends by telling us there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. You may remember there at the end of Romans 8, that beautiful passage begins with a question. Who shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord? Well, Psalm 121 also begins with a question, doesn't it? Where does my help come from? It's the question of verse 1. It's a question of fear. But that one question of fear is answered in verses 2 through 8 with 7 verses of confidence. Confidence in the Lord. In fact, that confidence builds as the psalm goes on. The word Lord is found one time in the first half of the psalm, 4 times in the second half. The word keep is found 2 times in the first half of the psalm, 4 times in the second half of the psalm. You see, there is this growing confidence. Even as they face this difficult path, there is this growing confidence that these pilgrims have as they sing with one another. That's why I wanted to read this morning with you earlier in the service from Colossians 3, where we're told to teach one another and to admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because as we come together from Lord's Day to Lord's Day and we together lift our voices in song to the Lord, there is great encouragement to one another. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You come into church maybe a bit down, maybe a bit sad, maybe grieving, maybe burdened with the trials of life, and you hear your brothers and sisters in Christ singing, and there's this crescendo of singing, and your spirit too is lifted. You're pointed up beyond the hills, beyond the mountains, beyond the trials of life to the God who is sovereign over all and has pledged himself to be your keeper. And then we have that wonderful truth. As we said earlier this morning, that Jesus himself is not ashamed to call us his brothers, to call us his sisters, that he himself is singing with us. Psalm 121, then, is a great psalm. It's a psalm worth memorizing, a psalm worth committing to memory. If you have trouble committing the whole psalm to memory, well, certainly I would commend to you the main theme of the psalm. It's repeated here 6 times. I remember in seminary, one of my seminary professors preaching on this psalm and ending the sermon in a very powerful way, and I'd like to end it that way with you also this morning. You've heard the word keep or keeper in this psalm. It's repeated 6 times in 8 verses, the very same Hebrew word. We learned in school as students that to use the same word often in a very short span is bad English. Well, in Hebrew, that's how they made the point. By the repetition of the same word over and over again. And so no less than 6 times in this little psalm are we told, the Lord is your keeper. 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 Say it together with me the final time. The Lord is your keeper. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, our hearts are indeed full this morning. Full with the blessings of the joys that we could experience this morning in professions of faith and the welcoming of new members. Filled with joy that you have given us fellow travelers, fellow pilgrims, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to walk the pathway of the Christian life with us. But especially full of joy because you are our keeper. And in Christ, you have proven to us to be that. You did not keep him in order that you would keep us. And so we marvel, O Lord, that your heart is indeed kind beyond all measure. And we rejoice that through all the paths in which you lead us, through all the pains and the pleasures, the joys and the sorrows, the tears and the laughter, that this is the one thing that is constant for us. You are with us, and you are with us as our keeper, as our helper. Thank you for the opportunity to encourage one another today with those truths. Even as we lift our voices in song, we give you all the praise and all the glory.